Now a new invasive species appeared in Wisconsin 6 years ago in the University of Wisconsin Arboretum in Madison.
They're called Asian jumping worms, and for gardeners and others, they're becoming a big problem. If you're not familiar with them and you've got a strong stomach, we've tweeted out a video of what they look like over on Twitter.
Usually worms in a garden are a pretty good sign and do important work in soil health, but it's a different story with these invaders. Fortunately, our next guest is here to talk about a possible solution.
Brad Herrick is the ecologist and research program manager at the UW Arboretum. Brad, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So why are these Asian jumping worms so destructive?
Well, we don't know all the possible reasons why, but right now what we've seen in forests and in gardens is that they seem to change the soil structure. So they create this kind of coffee ground-like soil structure. And unlike other earthworms, they only live in the top centimeter soil right underneath the leaf litter. And so all their consumption of the organic matter is happening in the same area. So it really turns that soil over quickly, creates a loose, porous soil that can be difficult for plants to germinate in, difficult for other soil organisms to live in. We know that they can have negative impacts on salamanders, millipedes, some other soil biota. And, you know, and we're learning more and more about these since they're relatively new to Wisconsin, especially. So research is just starting to come out, so we're learning more about them.
These were discovered in the Arboretum in 2013. What impact have they had basically since you all found them?
So we've been tracking their spread over the last 6 years or so. That soil change I mentioned has been ubiquitous wherever we found them. Also, they disperse or outcompete every other species of earthworm. So wherever we've found these new invaders, we don't find any other earthworm species. Now, one thing that I want to mention is that there actually are no native earthworms to Wisconsin. All earthworm species are non-native, and many are invasive. So most of them are from Europe. So like the common nightcrawler is one that everyone knows that's used for fishing a lot. But that's actually not a native earthworm. So since the last glaciation, we think that if there were native earthworms, they were extirpated, otherwise killed off. And so our native habitats, forests, savannas, did not evolve in the presence of earthworms. So they don't need them to be a healthy system. Gardens, though, like you mentioned earlier, can benefit from earthworms. But these earthworms don't do the same kind of thing that other European species do, so they're not beneficial in that respect.
So it sounds like there's some incentive to get rid of them, which with in any invasive species is easier said than done. And that's where this research that you're working on comes in, and it involves heat. Tell us about what you found.
Right. So in Wisconsin and in many states, commercial compost industries are regulated. And so to make compost at the commercial scale, they have to heat up their piles to 131 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 or 15 days, depending on the type of pile. So we sort of thought of, and the reason why they do that is to kill harmful bacteria, pathogens, fungi. And so we thought, well, could this possibly be a way that we could control these earthworms, specifically their cocoons? So these earthworms are annual species, and so they overwinter with these little 2-millimeter cocoons that are probably what's being spread since they're so hard to see. And there is no way that we could control them. So we thought, well, maybe heat would do the trick. And so we subjected cocoons to different temperatures below the 131 degrees Fahrenheit and above. And we found that at 104 degrees, no cocoons were viable. So we dissected the cocoons and looked inside, and there was no living organism. And so it was a fairly black and white finding in terms of there was nothing that lived over 104 degrees Fahrenheit. And so one of the options is that if you have compost that's commercially produced, in theory, it'll reach that temperature. And the compost at that step should be earthworm and cocoon free.
So you're talking about the fact that you can, at least on a small scale, do this. The Arboretum, if we're using that as an example, is a pretty sizable tract of land. How does this inform larger scale mitigation here?
Right. That's a great question. That's sort of like the next step that we need to look at is scaling up to make it applicable to you know, not even large gardeners, but, you know, lands like the arboretum on 1,200 acres. And at this point, it's probably not applicable in terms of a mechanism to control earthworms. But at a smaller scale, something like solarization, so using black plastic or clear plastic, might heat the soil to a high enough temperature where you can kill cocoons. Right now at the arboretum, what we're focused on still is minimizing the spread. And so, and this is what we tell master gardeners, master naturalists, and homeowners, is that there are sort of what we call best management practices that you can do. And that's basically kind of know what your yard or your environment is and notice changes in that and make sure that your tools and equipment are clean before and after you leave an area. You know, don't trade plants with your friends, or at least know that your plant material, your soil is free of these earthworms. So there's still work to be done in terms of how to scale this up, this treatment up to control.
And briefly, is there a chance that, you know, this just gets completely eradicated in Wisconsin, or is it too soon to say at this point?
Yeah, I don't think complete eradication is the goal, frankly. And it's like with many invasive species like buckthorn and garlic mustard, it's sort of a control it where you can invest resources. Earthworms, as you can imagine, they're everywhere and you don't see them often and they're easily spread. And so I think it's keeping them out of places where they're not in, especially the high quality forests, your backyard garden. So following these best management practices. But where you can, and you can invest the resources, this heat treatment, at least buying products that have used this heat treatment on the compost, is a good way to go.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brad.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Brad Herrick is the ecologist and research program manager at the UW-Madison Arboretum.